organization. I just have one of these thinking minds, you know, and over the years I'm learning more and more to just to watch where my thoughts go and all the machinations that occasionally I pay attention to my breath for a while and I'm walking on this little journey. And I'm getting more and more comfortable with that. At the same time, I've heard teachings about as you can concentrate, as you can improve your concentration, you know, on the primary object of breath, then your mindfulness increases as well. And so I'm trying to go back to the concentration.
It's kind of a symbiotic relationship. And there's a certain danger in that, because as soon as you say, like, I'm going to improve my concentration, you know, I need more concentration, what do you feel? It's immediate tension. And it's tightening up. I got to get concentrated. And, you know, that's an obstacle right there, which is kind of a, how do you say, a legacy of the early translators of Buddhism. And say like the same word that's translated as concentration in English, when it's translated in Thai, it's translated as like the firm establishing of the mind. There's a different feel to it, doesn't it? Okay, I just firmly establish that, settle that. So there's different words that we might want to use, say like settling, which is just as valid, and it expresses maybe a bit more clearly what it feels like to, you know, to put attention on and to sustain attention. So it's just a settling, a firm establishing, or even just like a giving oneself to the object, you know, which is then it's an offering that one is doing rather than something that one is trying to get concentrated. And so the language, you know, conditions us and to be attentive to, you know, what triggers it. And especially with you know, as soon as we're a bit, say, tense or tighten up a bit, then, you know, we want to fix it. And the way we fix it is through our conceiving mind, and then it gets that thought process that's kicked in, you know, quite well. So it's just playing with those concepts and recognizing, oh, there's another approach to this, so you can work with this in a different way. But it's true that as the mind, the heart becomes more comfortable with being settled, then the compulsion for thinking drops off. And a lot of it is also you know, one of the qualities that is required, say, from the Buddha's teaching, and just a set of teachings that he gives that are like a particular qualities that are essential for the mind to become settled or to experience samadhi. The very first one is called chanda in the scriptural language, and what it literally means, desire. And oftentimes we think, I've got to get rid of all my desires because I'm a Buddhist, and the Buddha says desire is the cause of suffering, which is true, but there's two different words for desire. So one is say, like in the Four Noble Truths, tanha is the cause of suffering. It's desire, and it's always, I would say, it's inextricably linked with greed, hatred, delusion, attachment, clinging. So it's always going to end up in suffering and stress. Whereas a quality that's essential for cultivation and growth is chanda, which is desire. And it's more like a desire, like, well, wholesome desire, motivation. Oftentimes I'll translate, especially in terms of meditation, interest. I'm really taking an interest in that process. There's a kind of a curiosity and desire to understand and know, how does this work? How do I do this? What works? What doesn't work? And so then that's a motivating factor that leads one into, say, application of effort and settling.